Whether you get up early on Saturday morning or stay up late on Friday night, we have good news for you.
Back of the Book, the only radio program that has endorsed hell, will be there for you every Saturday morning at 5 a.m.
Regular listeners will no longer have to figure out which Saturday morning is the alternate one. Back of the Book, every Saturday morning at 5, only here on WBAI New York.
This is listener-sponsored WBAI in New York. We broadcast at 99.5 FM. We stream at WBAI.org. And we are going to be speaking with Gary about a new film that he has done. It's a film about finding happiness in an unhappy world and how one can find happiness in spite of everything that's going on right now. He says we all are trying to be happy and successful, but yet even if we are successful, we aren't happy. So he's wondering why that is. So he's created a film, an empowerment lecture series that we're going to be exploring with him. And that is part of WBAI's attempt to provide some thank you gifts for you as we are struggling to stay afloat as a radio station, as many of our listeners are. But yet there are listeners among you who are able to contribute to the station and who have a bit more money and can help us keep afloat, ease the burden here, and make sure that the station survives, that we continue to broadcast in this moment of unrest. Large moment of unrest in our country, in our city, as our city tries to get back into some semblance of normalcy. So this is WBAI in New York. We will be joined with Gary Null in just a moment. We're going to listen to a little bit of this film that we are going to be offering to you, How to Find Happiness in an Unhappy World. And Reggie, my counterpart at WBAI, are we ready with that clip from the film? Okay, great. So let's play that, please.
Happiness is reality. And it's because we choose to live in illusion that we deny ourselves happiness.
We often have an illusion of what makes us happy. And very often that illusion is not really what does make you happy. So you have to step back from that belief that having certain things in your life will make you happy, getting married will make you happy, and really sit down and think, what do I really want? Not what do others want for me, but what do I really want? And when you get in touch with yourself and who you are and what makes you feel good, then you can let go of the illusions.
The illusion, if only. If only I didn't live here, if only I was younger, if only I was black, if only I was white, if only I was taller, if only I was richer. If only immediately closes the door, because it's saying, I must get through all these obstacles before I can find happiness. Not true. Happiness is a state of mind. It is a state of mind of being able to surrender everything that is an illusion so you can accept the moment you're in. If you're poor, you can be happy. If you're single, you can be happy. If you're a mother who is living in a ghetto with four kids and on welfare, you can still be happy.
We endlessly and ceaselessly look outside of ourselves for happiness, always blaming. We play the when-then game, which says, when I achieve more, then I'll be happy. We play the if-then game. If so-and-so hadn't gotten in my way, or if I had a different parent, or if something had been different in my life, then I would be happy. We play the if-only game. If only I had more money. If only I had a different spouse. If only I had a better job. If only people would see me as worthwhile and who I am, then I would be happy. And until we address those, we will never, ever find a true sense of meaning and happiness.
Look at Gandhi. Look at people throughout history that have suffered, who've had none of the worldly possessions, none of the things we think we have to be happy, but they found happiness. You could go to some of the most impoverished areas of the world. You could go to the desert and the bushmen of the Kalahari in Africa, and you can find happiness because they're not living with any illusion. And we do nothing but surround our lives with illusion, if only. So get rid of the illusion, and you are then present with happiness. But you have to be honest about what is illusion. And many of our expectations about others is illusion. Love follows gratitude. Therefore, every day when you awaken, look for things to feel grateful for.
The rising of the sun was an inspiration for me. The dew on the grass is an inspiration for me. The simplicity of life is what makes me literally soar up and become, in the moment, when it works, you become a completely different person. Not only are you happy, you're able to move forward.
Look at the little things, because life is merely an accumulation of small, almost imperceptible events that when we look at the aggregate total, we think, wow, isn't that good? And everything is cumulative, constructively and destructively accumulative. The bright side of our nature accumulates the positive and best we can be. The dark side of our nature accumulates mistrust, betrayal, anger, all the negatives. So if you spend your time thinking about things that make you jealous or envious, then you're accumulating day by day, thought by thought, just like the person that gradually, with no great big massive feast, but each day eats a little bit, they're going to gain weight at the end of the year and say, where did this weight come from? What was that extra 100 calories a day? 3,500 calories, and you gained a pound. So remember, positive little things. So gratitude about everything becomes a positive virtue every moment.
When you feel really grateful for your life and express it, write your blessings down, and just start to greatly appreciate what you have, it's so much easier to feel loving also. You get a warm feeling when you notice all of the wonderful things happening in your life, and you made them happen. And that's a really good reason to love yourself more.
Gratitude offers us a chance to come back to our deepest self and the core thanks that we feel fundamentally for being alive.
Talk, keep talking, happy talk. Talk about things you'd like to do. You've got to have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how you gonna have a dream come true?
One more verse and then fade.
Talk about the moon floating in the sky, looking like a lily on a lake. Talk about the bird learning how to fly, making all the music he can make. Happy talk, keep talking, happy talk. You'd like to do.
Happy Talk from South Pacific. It's one of my favorite songs, and also an excerpt from Gary Null's film, Finding Happiness in an Unhappy World. And I believe that WBAI is now joined by Gary Null. Gary?
Hi. Thank you very much. I appreciate this opportunity.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us, because you are a person who has found happiness in an unhappy world, and you are sharing your knowledge and your insight with the rest of us. And you are offering a film to our listeners. It's a lecture series, really, an empowerment lecture series about finding happiness. Can you tell us about it?
Yes. I was thinking recently, when I was at the final stage of a anti-aging clinical study with a group of people, and we've been quarantined for, well, some of us for 10 weeks. No newspapers, no television, no radio, not allowed off the property. So we were really in a super quarantine, but a beautiful environment, and it didn't limit us in what we were able to experience. But everyone in the evening had an opportunity to speak with those who were at home, family members, and they said how rough it was for the people, how they were trying to adjust. And then I was talking with people about how difficult it was in New York City. My brother, Stephen, for over 45 years, has been the volunteer activist on behalf of small businesses in the five boroughs, and he takes their cause before the city council and tries to get something that equates to fairness between the landlords and the tenants, which is almost an impossible task. And he said that before Corona, there was about, on the low end, 24%, on the high end, 34% vacancies in the different boroughs. And then afterwards, it went up to about 60%. And that meant that when he was speaking with small business people, the people that owned the bakeries and the boutiques and the dry cleaners and the little restaurants, they weren't opening again because they didn't have the money. They were living on such a tight budget to begin with, and they were depressed, and there was sicknesses, and not from the COVID virus, but because of the being quarantined and having no income and not being able to pay your bills, yet no bills were forgiven. There were only a moratorium on some rent, so a landlord could not throw a person who couldn't pay the rent out in the street. But that wasn't forgiven rent. That was put forward so when they do open up to this week or next week or next month, they've got all that accumulated rent they have to pay, and they don't have the money to do that. Small business people are maxed out. So he said, based upon his research, and his is far more accurate and thorough than anything we've seen otherwise, that probably 40% of all businesses that have closed will not be able to reopen. And according to Bloomberg, about 11% of the businesses that are closed will reopen and go broke within 3 months. So because people's buying habits have changed. And so anyhow, all I heard was negative, 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 negative. You know, people committing suicide, people taking tranquilizers who've never taken them, anti-anxiety medication who've never taken it, people not eating healthily, ordering in pizzas all the time and colas. They weren't exercising. And then this paranoia of what if they get infected? And then what happens if there's a vaccine? Do they have to take it? Yeah, in New York State, you will. Everyone, no exceptions allowed. No matter where you live, you will be tracked down and you will be forced to take vaccine or you will be punished for it. And so that's all coming at us. So I decided this is no way to deal with an issue. Today on my program, one of the most respected research investigative journalists in the world, James Corbett from Japan, where he lives now, we did a one-hour special on the truth about the coronavirus and the misinformation by official sources. Now, if they keep being wrong, at what point do we stop believing them because they've been wrong so many times? I mean, right now, the whole mainstream media is whitewashing George Bush's reputation. Suddenly, he's a respected senior, you know, person. No, he's not. You know, he's responsible for causing a war that he knew and the people around him knew we shouldn't have done that war at all, or done seven other countries' regime changes. But this is what happens when we can't trust the media because of its biases. We cannot trust science because of its being either wrong or by being captured by special interests. So people are just absolutely at the end of their trust factor. So I thought about that, and I spent the entire afternoon, 6 hours, from lunch until my lecture that night, asking, I was just walking around the gardens talking to myself, and I said, all right, what are the problems? Now, what are the solutions? And how do we get there? And I found that the same thing held with all the people who came, and these were senior citizens that I was working with, and they're not easy to work with, but they're very, very challenging because they don't want to do things, and they're stuck in their ways, and they're all self-righteous, and they're very indignant if you suggest that this is in their best interest. And yet they're in a study. They're there to prove you can reverse the aging process. It just for the first 4 weeks, that wasn't easy to achieve. In the last 4 weeks, they began to have these catharsis and transformations. And partly it was because I didn't give them any more information on health. None. Zero. Instead, I spoke about the role of happiness, the role of freedom to be happy. And what happens when your mind starts to be happy? How do you think? How do you see the problems? How do you see the solutions? And happy people see multiple solutions, and even bad situations can be rewarded by new insights. You know, if I have something happen bad because I made a bad choice, I only want that bad choice to happen once. I only want to go through that pain once. Instead, you got to lighten it up. You have to be able to think like Fred Astaire danced, or the Nicholas Brothers dance. You got to be able to be so spontaneous, so fluid, so in the moment, you become the music, and your steps are simply accommodating the rhythm. And yet, that's not how we do it, very clunkily. We think ways, well, I don't want to think about that. I don't have a solution. I don't have a solution for any of this. You know, I'm just going to keep adapting. Wrong. Now, so in those quiet moments, you ask yourself a series of questions, honest questions, that only you and no one else should have the answer to. You have to be the architect of your own transformation. So either you're going to break down, which most people have, or you're going to break through, which very few people have. So the breakdown people are going to suffer from much, much more disease and die more rapidly. Their immune system is going to be really altered in a negative way. They're not going to see the joy of life. They're going to see the dreg of life. And so they're in the breakdown mode where there's a scarcity. Everything is scarce. Well, love is scarce, and empathy is scarce, and understanding is scarce, and help is scarce. And yet if you break through, you have abundance. There are wonderful people everywhere. In fact, Linda, yesterday, Daily Bread, which finds food for people and then gives it to the homeless or those who are in need, came by, and I gave them 500 pounds of organic frozen food. And the guy said, why are you doing all this? You know, normally we get a lot of expired, crappy stuff. And I said, well, what do you do? He said, I'm an accountant. I said, yet you're volunteering, aren't you? He said, yes. I said, why? Because I care about people. Because I care about people who, you know, I've been fortunate not to be homeless and not to have to go to a food kitchen to get something to eat. But I understand what those people have to go through just to bring themselves to a place where they have to step out of the closet and say, I'm so poor I can't feed myself or my family. He said, that just tugs my heart. I said, okay. Do you think I'm any different? How can I, who believes in planning ahead and planning for the coronavirus, so we had food for everyone to eat, otherwise I'd end up having no food down there for all those people, because the first day I got there, none of the suppliers shipped me anything I'd ordered, because they were sending it all to the big stores, not to me. I had to go out and I had to find ways of getting local suppliers, local farmers, you know, that I had worked with in the past to, you know, who grow tomatoes or watermelons or whatever it is. But at the end of the day, I had 500 pounds worth of food from these small little growers, fresh organic stuff. And yeah, we had plenty of food. We never ran out of food. And so in my home, where I have all these animals I have to take care of, I rescue animals who are abused and find them loving homes. But first, you got to get them back to trusting. So I planned ahead. What would happen if we had a hurricane? There was no electricity. Well, I got a generator. What would happen if we, you know, ran out of food that we could get, if people were hoarding? Well, I grew a lot of food and then dried it and froze it and made all kinds of stuff in advance. I'd go out to the Immokalee and buy cases of bananas and then peel them and freeze them, which they're fine then. You can put them in a smoothie, make great, great smoothie shakes with bananas. So I had all this food, and I thought, okay, we're past this part of the crisis. Mm-hmm. So I want to give this all as a gift to people. So it's, you know, it's an easy thing to do, to give something to another person. What is the greatest gift you can give in life? You can give positive energy to another person and recognize what they're going through. Recognize with real empathy and spiritual value that, friend, at this moment in life, I'm not suffering, but I see you are, so let me help you with your suffering. So if we all reached out to a person that's suffering to do what we could, and each one of us can do something different, then that's all positive. That makes it a country of abundance of caregivers and those who volunteer. I can't tell you the admiration I had for those two people who were here, because they're real heroes. They didn't have to volunteer. Every volunteer doesn't have to volunteer, and I respect volunteers. So all of us, I believe, have a moral responsibility to volunteer. If we have
a gift. Said something very important that most of us are feeling, because as we're watching what's going on, there's so much that tugs at our hearts, that brings tears to our eyes, and also makes us think, well, what can we do? What can we do to change what's going on? What can we do to help alleviate the pain?
It starts with our changing perception. In fact, there was I'll give you one good example. There was a woman that we were going to send home. She was the oldest person there. She was in her 80s, and she had all kinds of problems. And she wasn't, no one was supposed to be in the study who had any problems, but we weren't, that wasn't divulged to us.
We're right. Talking about the anti-aging study. This is WBAI New York. We're speaking with Gary Null, and we're talking about this film that he has made, which we are offering you as an incentive to become a member of WBAI. His film comes from a new self-empowerment lecture series, and it's called Finding Happiness in an Unhappy World.
And it's the first new film, self-empowerment film I've done in 5 years. Now, I've done others like Love and Sexual Healing and You're Smarter Than You Think and Anger, Taming the Beast Within and Overcoming the Dark Side. I've done about 60. And they've always been popular with the AI audience, alternative approaches to cancer, the natural approaches to arthritis, et cetera. So I haven't done it in any 5 years because I put all my energy into documentaries. But this one and some new books, but this is my first, and boy, is it, and it came from this one person, because I know that this person wanted to change. It's just that every single thing that was suggested, she resisted. Mm-hmm. I don't care what it was. And I don't care if it was Barbara or Luann, whoever was saying, why don't we try this juicing? And what? No. And I'm thinking, whoa. Oh, God. And so anyhow, you know, mind you, I'm having to be there from 4 in the morning till midnight every day, 20 hours a day, 7 days a week for months with them. All right. So it's not like I counsel someone, they go home, whatever they're going to do, they're going to do. Here I'm watching what they're doing, and it's a study. They have to do it. If you don't do this thing, you're excluded from the study. So there's a point where, you know, we called her family and said, she's not doing this study, she's not being cooperative, and we're sorry, but, you know, we made it very clear that if you can't do the protocol, don't come. And so that night I did a lecture, because the next morning we were going to take her to the airport. And in the lecture I said, what's missing here? So I asked the whole group, I said, would any of you really befriend any of you? I said, based upon what you've seen in people's behavior, would you? Be honest. And the people started to laugh, you know, mm-hmm. And then one of the guys says, I don't think so. I said, what about yourself don't you like that you'd like to change? So let's right now, let's make a list of things we don't like about ourselves, but you know, we've kind of solidified it and codified it, that that's who we are, and I'm not going to change. Now, ask yourself, how can you live a longer life if you're not willing to change your diet, if you're not willing to exercise, if you're not willing to do meditation, if you're not willing to engage in time, 3 hours a day with nature? Part of your protocol is you're supposed to be out with nature, with trees and shrubs and flowers, you know, and birds and nature for 3 hours a day, and some of you aren't going out there for 10 minutes. So if the goal is to live a longer life and overcome disease, what's missing in a woman who, by the way, is a chairman of department at a respected college in New York, said happiness. Uh-huh. I said, okay, what have you done for happiness? She said, all the wrong things. The wrong relationship I thought would give me happiness. It didn't. It gave me misery. Drinking. That didn't give me happiness. Bearing my fears and insecurities, that didn't give me happiness. Hiding my authentic self from people, that didn't give me happiness. You know, everything I've done to try to be happy, it's eluded me. And I said, when you were born, like all children, you're born happy. Watch a child. And then watch the mother and watch the father and watch the kissing and the hugging and the cooing and the baby talk. That's reinforcing the bond, the sense of completeness of identifying this wonderful sentient being that is now your responsibility to help them so they get through life. And so when we did a whole series of lectures, over 40 lectures, I did 60 lectures all told. I'm talking about from that night forward. And that night I talked about what is missing in our life. How can you be grumpy and angry and be happy? You can't. That's duality. You can be happy or you can be grumpy. You can't be both. Now, what causes your mind to go grumpy and resistant? And if you want to look what's going to happen in your life, it's easy. Look at your constrictions. Look at your restraints. Your restraints will dictate how far you're going to go at being successful at the life you're living. So what's missing here? And then the person who was having these problems said, well, we kind of maladapt to our lives. I said, yes. And you can unadapt to that. You can disconnect from that behavior, but you have to be disciplined to create a new behavior. So right then and there, I started giving them really good challenges to see, who are you? Do any of you know who you actually are? Don't tell me your careers. That's the cheap escape. Oh, I'm an accountant. Oh, don't tell me your ethnicity. Don't tell me your religious background. Don't tell me your educational standing, your social standing. Tell me who you are as a person. Go back to one of the great thinkers, a physician who survived 5 concentration camps. And he said the most important lesson for those who survived was they had to have something to believe in greater than the pain and privations that they were experiencing. And you remember his name? Linda?
What's it now? I'm listening to you. I'm waiting for you to answer.
No, this is your turn to answer. It'll come to you. I'm sure everyone in this audience remembers Viktor Frankl.
Oh, of course.
Great, great thinker. Right up there with, right equal to Rollo May and Eric Fromm and others. Because then I ask, so tell me, what is the central meaning of your life? What are you living for? What is your living legacy? And that got him to a deep water. Now they were no longer in their egos, the silent ego, which was a whole lecture to itself, or the dominant alpha male female egos. This was an introspective journey to take a look in the actual psyche of our conditioned self. And that's where people started to see that those who had a strong sense of belief in something to live for, those are the ones who are making the greatest progress.
So what happened to the woman? What happened to that woman who you were going to send
home? The next morning, I got up, and as I was making rounds, I heard music, and I went by the gym, and she's in there working out. Mind you, this person didn't want to do any workout. She's in there working out. So I walked in, and I said, what happened? She says, I realized that I've been living through my pain and disappointment, my anger and rage, and self-righteousness. And she said, I haven't lived through my humility and my wonderness of life, and I should have. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she said, so I'm coming together with the idea I need to have a really authentic purpose, because when you're in your 80s, you sometimes just think, I'm lucky to be alive and waking up today, instead of I'm going to wake up today and do something that's very important. I'm going to honor my life. So then I got them to realize that they should be the architects of their new life. They should build it, no one else. No input from anyone else, as well-intentioned people are. And the reason was because sometimes we succeeded at a life we didn't create. And that creates what I call the big empty. And almost none of those people are happy. They're trying to be happy. They'll try to buy happiness. They'll try to earn happiness by their obligations that they, and responsibilities to other people.
So wait, so you're saying people are succeeding at lives that they have not created themselves?
That's correct. They've only been, it's been an obligatory life that they lived because they wanted to be the good son, the good daughter, good husband, good wife, good friend. So they did through other people's stated or unstated expectations of them, almost everything in life, and they succeeded at it because I've never met a person in my life that failed at doing something. If you go out and meet a person on the street and you talk with them, you'll find they've succeeded, mastered how to survive on the street, where you and I might last a month, end up with food poisoning. They have all the mastery. So we all master many things, but do we master our own life? We master careers. We master being responsible for other people. But that doesn't mean we're happy. I know
so
people
you're
that
saying
are working
that,
that
those
death.
Who you're saying people who are living or the good girl or the good boy, and then they grow up continuing to be good as other people think they should be, are not really living their own authentic selves.
That's correct. And it's only when you stop juggling all the balls of responsibility of everyone else's expectations of you and you stop and let them all fall and decide which ones you want to pick up again and leave everything else you don't want to be that's not really you, and then start to encourage yourself towards what your heart feels and your intuition tells you you should be doing with your life. I'll give you one good example of this. I had a very close friend, and we would run every day in the park early in the morning, and we would race together, and we'd go out socializing. This is back in the 1970s when the disco scene was on, and neither of us did any drugs or alcohol, so we'd just go and enjoy the dancing, and then in the morning go for a spirited run. And then one day I'm in his office. He was a lawyer with a very big firm, and his college buddy from Columbia University, where they both graduated, his father owned the law firm. And one day I walked in, and he's just sitting there with this kind of gloomy look on his face. And I said, "What's up?" He said, "I'm just so bored to death with this." He said, "Yes, it gives me a good living, but I don't see myself spending the next 20 or 30 years doing this." I said, "Well, what does your heart tell you?" He said, "I'd love to work with animals. I'd love to be out west. I love the whole romanticism of the West. I'd love to go to where George O'Keefe and others spend time out in Arizona, out in South Dakota, out in New Mexico, out into that area." He said, that's my goal, but I, you know, maybe in the future." I said, "Why the future? Why not now?" And we had a long talk about this, and I said, "You realize that one thing you never talk about is happiness. You talk about fulfillment and doing things right." Mm-hmm. And you do. You're very exacting. But I don't see that kind of natural joy, that beautiful smile of "I'm happy." Happy is not something that we earn. It's not something we buy. It's not a relationship. It's not what's in our life. It's we. Happiness has to be something we exude, we liberate. And the liberation of our authentic happiness changes our entire perception of what we should be doing with our life and who with, and not to compromise, but to accede to that breakthrough level where there's an abundance of joy, abundance of happiness, abundance of opportunities, abundance of solutions. When mm-hmm. I was on tour mm-hmm. and I went out to Santa Fe, and there was a place where you could get juices, and there he was making juices, and his hobby was helping an animal. And he was so happy. I mean, he was beaming, had this big beard. Totally, I almost didn't recognize him. He said, "Hey, Gary." I turned around, there he was. And I said, "Well, why didn't he call me? Why didn't he tell me?" He said, "Well," he said, "this was a journey that I had to take alone." Mm-hmm. He said, "I've been in different places. You know, I've seen the right and wrong way of doing stuff. Not everybody who lives out here is a good, nice person. Not every surfer's a dude," he said, whatever that means. And I said, "Okay." He said, "But now I'm grounded. I'm happy every day." And that's an example of, do we have the courage to be happy? Because being happy means we have to liberate ourselves. And the average
person
finds
that one of the biggest problems for people is if they're overcommitted or they're undercommitted to their own lives.
Well, we're overcommitted to everyone else's life. We're overcommitted to what matters to other people, and then we make it matter to us. In fact, one of the things I've noticed in being a part of a lot of movements, helping to lead movements and lead demonstrations, so I'm very sympathetic to people who are out there protesting right now, and you can master your commitment to other people and events, and especially movements, but you haven't yet mastered yourself. You haven't mastered your authentic self, and that means you have to know your real purpose. So I believe that what we've done is distract ourselves. Now, the people who are really committed to making the world a better place are out there trying to make it a better place in whatever way they can lend their voice and their body presence to others, and in which case we can then see, oh, there's a problem here. Let's pay some attention to it. But the vast majority of people, 99% of people, never commit themselves to anything publicly. I mean, the height of the civil rights movement, the height of the women's movement, the height of the environmental movement, the height of the indigenous culture movement, you had 1% to 2% maximum of the population. And yet change happens when you have about 3.5% of the population.
But so people are out on the streets, though, Gary. Every day, people are out on the streets fighting for change. So
you're
people
right.
are now committed to trying to change a lot but in the system. In the city, for example,
you're
you know,
right.
people are
you're
out
right.
there trying to change the laws that govern the NYPD. You know that
I,
are leading
I,
to
I
these
agree
arrests.
With you, but what I'm yeah. listen, what I'm saying, Linda, that's 0.5%, 98.4%. Yeah. I'm saying be one of the people that commit yourself to change. I'm saying be one of the people that look at the problems as ways that we can create positive solutions that help everybody and help society. I'm suggesting that it's only when the person that's most likely to cause the best change is the person who's changed themselves. And you got to start with changing your perception of your limitations.
You also say quite clearly that when your life is out of balance, it leads to a kind of a depression, and that causes you to eat unhealthy. And one of the things that one can do is to have a healthy diet to not be taken in by a depressed state when you are unhappy and when you're maybe undercommitted to your own life.
I agree that what we have to do is we have to have one of those quiet moments to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Where we don't allow any distraction and we simply ask ourselves, what is the central meaning of our life? And then can we commit ourselves to that meaning? And if we can, what tools do we need? How do we go about that? And then start the process. It doesn't have to be all at once. Doesn't have to be great. You just have to give a commitment that every time you think about not doing something that's right, you say no. I know that there'll be no good outcome if I don't do something that is right.
We're speaking right. with Dr. Gary Null, and he's talking about his new film. It's a self-empowerment lecture film with many professionals who are commenting, empowerment coaches, psychotherapists, other doctors who are speaking about what happiness is, how we are seeking happiness, how we can have happiness in an unhappy world. And this is a film that WBAI listener sponsor WBAI is offering to you as an incentive with a new ingredient that Gary Null has put together, and that he is going to talk to you about. He's very, very happy about this new ingredient, which is a superfood breakfast cereal.
I am, and here's why. Because the most important meal of the day is breakfast, because you're breaking a fast. Your body needs nutrients, but it needs nutrients that are functional, what are called functional foods, meaning they actually can function in a positive way once we've consumed them. And the average person's breakfast is generally destructive. It is highly inflammatory. Coffee is destructive. Bacon and eggs destructive. Sausage and eggs are destructive. All these fast food breakfasts, and they're just an amalgamation of one bad food after another. In fact, the latest one is Kentucky Fried Chicken. And if you watch the ad,
for breakfast?
They have glazed donuts. Instead of muffins, I can't imagine who thought of the idea of, well, and someone probably thought, well, you know, people love donuts, so why don't we combine donuts with our fried chicken? And that's what they did.
And oh, you know, that probably comes from chicken and biscuits, right? They were trying to monetize that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's called differentiation. They're trying to say, well, see, we're different than everyone else, because now you see these pockets they put in hash browns, bacon, and sausage, both of which are from pork, and then eggs and some kind of sauce. And so they just keep
and
giving
grease.
These massive amounts of unhealthy food, all of which cause digestive problems, immune problems. So I decided, what can I do? So one thing I haven't created, there are many things I haven't created, but the one thing that's really needed is help people with the breakfast. And then I went around and I started looking at breakfasts. And then I even looked at some healthy breakfasts. And then I went and looked in health food stores for what are the popular healthy breakfasts. When I read the boxes, it's mainly refined carbohydrate. You know, they dress it up, but it's at the end of the day, you get a lot of sugar and you get something that's a refined carbohydrate. It's generally browned, which means acrylamides, a chemical that comes when you brown stuff, which is not good. It's a carcinogen. And so I started off, and this took a year to do. From beginning to end, it was 1 year. and I didn't know if people wanted. But I started off with a blend and with the Steelcoat oatmeal. Now, mind you, there's the flakes. This is not the flakes. These are the steel cuts. These means it's more chewy. It's it takes longer to digest, has a better glycemic factor than oat fiber. Then I put coconut oil in there. Coconut oil I take every single day. It's one of the most single important oils. It's right up there with extra virgin organic olive oil. And even it's better than that because of all the monolaurin and the other other components of it and what it does in the body. So coconut oil. Then brown rice protein. Then flax seeds. Then almond protein, bananas and blueberries and pomegranates and cherries and strawberries and raspberries and grapes and grape seed extract and papaya and prunes and apples and acerola. Goji berries and acai berries and bilberries. And then I thought, okay, there's no one ever put all this in one cereal. but let's get really adventurous.
And veggies,
why not try to put, why not put vegetables in? Yeah. Now, of course, everyone said, I'm not going to eat something with, I don't want a breakfast cereal to taste like vegetables. So it took about 10 tests. I put the following vegetables in this cereal, but you won't taste any of the vegetables. I put parsley, carrots, cabbage, spinach. By the way, the organic kale, and organic barley grass, asparagus, spirulina, celery, onions, cauliflower, broccoli, and radishes. Yeah, all those great cruciferous vegetables. And then it took me time and blend, so you couldn't taste any of the vegetables, but you sure do taste this wonderful, smooth, delectable, kind of like an almond, vanilla almond. That's what the taste comes away with. And once we perfected it, and everyone in the office didn't gag and spit it out, right? And for any item to pass, everyone in the office, about 28 people, they all have to say yes. And we judge it in mouthfeel, taste, smell, aftertaste, digestibility, blendability, all these things. And then, so now I knew I had something that was as good as it. There's never been a breakfast in America in history like this. This has got everything good in it. I mean, everything that you'd want to start today. And then I looked at the pricing. And just a bowl of oatmeal out there can be anywhere from $5 to $7. If you want blueberries, you want any of the other things here, they charge you a buck or two extra for each one. But I'm giving you all these ingredients with the steel-cut oat, and then I put it in a special bag. I had to find a company that could bag this where they got 12 servings in one bag. So you get this wonderful bag, and then you get these little servings in there, and all you do is just add some hot water and stir. In 3 minutes, you can put any kind of extra liquid in it you want. You want rice, milk, almond milk, you know, anything. And we tried it with every kind of liquid, and it all works. Even water works because it's so thick and creamy and delicious and chewy, and it's so nutritious. I mean, it is absolutely a superstar of nutrition.
So and, what we're offering is we're offering...
That's what it is.
We're offering 24 servings of the Superfood Breakfast along with the film, the Feel Happy DVD film, for a contribution to WBAI of $75. So that's what we are offering you as a thank you gift. Basically, what you're doing is you're supporting the radio station, but you're also having 24 servings of this in your cupboard, which you can have every morning, every afternoon, or you can alternate it, and it can last, you know, 4 months or longer, because maybe you don't want oatmeal every day, but maybe you do, and maybe you feel, you'll feel like, oh, this is making my body feel good to have whole grains and plant-based protein, fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds in the morning or in the afternoon whenever you take your breakfast. You know, I was on another program with Dr. Majid Ali, and there was someone who called in who was suffering from diabetes, and he was talking about his lifestyle, and he has coffee in the morning and doesn't have anything to eat till 1 in the afternoon. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that isn't very healthy. to wait that long and to start out with coffee. If you're a person who doesn't have breakfast, this is a way that you can have breakfast, a superfood breakfast, delicious instant oatmeal, and all those ingredients Gary has concocted and talked about. So you will get all of that if you call 212-209-2950 and ask for the Gary Nels Superfood Breakfast, or go to our website, give2wbai.org, and pick it out, select it, and have it sent to you. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. Ask for Gary Nels Superfood Breakfast. And you'll also receive the film, Happiness in an Unhappy World, 212-209-2950. WBAI needs your support. We appreciate your support. We appreciate that you're listening to WBAI, that you listen to Gary Nolis on 5 days a week from 12 to 1 in the afternoon. And also we thank those of you who have become buddies, buddies to the Gary Nolis Show, sustaining members who say that my favorite show is the Gary Nolis Show. Did you know, Gary, you have some new buddies?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you have some new buddies. You have people who just call in and say, you know, I want to give you $10 or $15 or $20 a month. And then when the call center says, you know, so what's your favorite show? They'll say the Gary Nels Show. Some people say all WBAI programs. People pick out their favorite show. And then we see that. And, you know, that lightens our heart when we know that more and more people are calling in, becoming members of WBAI. But right now we are offering you Superfood Breakfast, delicious instant oatmeal. We are offering for $75 the film, the happiness film that Gary has done, and also the Superfood Breakfast. And you get 24 servings of this, which you will have in your own home to nourish you as the days go by.
And Linda, here's two things people should realize. If you go into any, even go to a health food store, and get their best cereal. First, you're not going to get 24 ingredients as healthy as the ones here. So you're getting the best fruits and vegetables, specially blended, so you taste this wonderful, delicious, soft, gentle taste, good aftertaste, smells great, easy to prepare, 12 servings in a bag, each serving separate. So we're giving you two bags, 24. And you realize when you get home and you look at that box and the box cost you $13 and then you think, wow, you know, how much is that per serving that you're getting? Here, you're paying this BAI. And by the way, so you're all clear on this, I don't make a single penny on this. This is purely a gift, as Linda will tell you, from us to the station. You're paying under $3.50 a serving. That's what you're paying. Now, try to go out anywhere. Go out today. Go into any restaurant, a diner, and say, I'd like a big bowl of oatmeal, and give me some blueberries or raspberries with it. You're going to pay $6, $7, $8. So imagine that we're charging you, the station's charging you, you know, under $3.50, and that does not include that, in effect, you're getting a free gift, a $44 gift of this happiness video, and this is brand new, you know, people need to have new information, new insights, new input of how to deal with it. Because once people at the anti-aging clinical study began to understand that they could change their perception of what they could and couldn't do, then we saw changes like you wouldn't believe. For example, one woman, I'll give you her name. Her name's Elaine Ryan. She's a very respected artist in Brooklyn. And she would have been lucky to have done a mile her first day at the retreat. And we have to, part of the scientific committee that of anti-aging scientists, like Dr. Goldman, who works with the Olympics, he had all this objective data. They had to have blood chemistry taken so we knew if things changed objectively in the blood, and then all these physical parameters. So what you did in the first day that you were there, and mind you, they had months to get themselves in pretty good shape before they got there. On her last day, she did a marathon, 26.3 miles. Yeah, a whole marathon. We're not taking a year to do this and train. She took 4 weeks, and she did it. We had one woman
who was able to do 58 minutes after doing 47 seconds of rope whip. You know, we got a rope in each hand, a long rope, and you whip it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She did 47 seconds the first time she could do it and couldn't lift her arms. And then on her last day, she did 58 minutes. She was able to do about a mile and 20 minutes, because I was there, I timed them. Her mile on the first day was 20 minutes and 21 seconds. That's a slow mile. I'll bet anyone in this audience could walk a 20-minute mile. On her last day, she did 26 miles, a whole marathon. In her last mile, she and one other guy, also named Gary, from California, did it together. And her last mile was 12 minutes and 2 seconds. Now, a 12-minute mile, when you're 70 years of age, you could win a gold medal in any race walk in the United States. She was race walking. So this is the kind of conditioning. A guy who came with a big pot belly left, and he had lost 27 pounds. But more importantly, his blood pressure came down, his blood cholesterol came down, his energy went through the roof. And so, and also on BAI yesterday, I played a short clip, a six-minute clip of Fred Fisher. Mm-hmm. And Fred Fisher, when I worked with him, he was near death. His doctor we filmed his sister and him, and Fred had been on a couch literally for 6 months. When I say literally, I mean literally he didn't go off the couch in 6 months. He weighed 740 pounds.
Oh, boy.
And he had congestive heart failure, his liver was failing, he had liver failure, kidney failure, he was dead. And his doctor said, at your age and weight, if you don't have the surgery for your congestive heart failure, you're going to die, but if you do have it, there's a chance you're going to die. And that's when I got the call. And he played the big guy in The Bronx Tale with in the film, Robert De Niro's film.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In any case, and he said, when you're on a movie set, you can eat and eat all you want, and that's what he did. In any case, 1 year later, we filmed him, and he said that Gary opened up his home and his heart and to me, and he spent time down there. Of course, free. I don't ever charge anyone for their help. And he went back, and his doctor just freaked out. He had lost 350 pounds.
That's
350
really
pounds.
That's so fabulous.
He no longer had congestive heart failure. He no longer had arthritis. No longer had depression. No longer had failure of anything. His blood pressure, blood sugar, everything was normal. He didn't have a single thing wrong with him. And then he would spend decades over in Brooklyn, sitting on the stoops of his apartment and giving advice to people about changing their attitude, changing their behavior.
We're talking to Gary Noel. We're running out of time. We also have, we're offering the Superfood Breakfast. We're offering this to you, the Superfood Breakfast you ask for. You also get the film. Operators are standing by, 212-209-2950. Ask for Gary Noel's Superfood Breakfast, and you'll receive the film, Happiness in an Unhappy World. Or you can go to our website, give2wbai.org, and select Gary Noel's Superfood Breakfast, and we'll send you the film. We'll send both to you. We'll have it sent to you right away. That's Gary Noel's Superfood Breakfast, 212-209-2950. We have operators standing by, ready to take your call. You will have the Superfood Breakfast, which you can have for lunch. You can have it as a snack. It's a healthy thing to have all day long.
You can take it anywhere with you.
You can take it anywhere, because all you need to do is add some water. You know, if you, instead of those snack bars that you take with you in your bag that have all the sugar in it, you can take the Superfood Breakfast. You can get 24 of them. It's a thank you gift. It's a way to help this listener-sponsored station. That's what you're doing. You're helping. We were talking about giving and helping, and this is a way that you can keep this station on the air. Right now, we are offering Gary Noel's Superfood Breakfast and the Happiness in an Unhappy World film. You get 24 servings of the Gary Noel Superfood Breakfast, and you'll appreciate getting it if you call 212-209-2950 for a contribution of $75. You'll get Gary Noel's Superfood Breakfast, and you'll also receive the film, Happiness in an Unhappy World. A pledge of $75 will bring that to you. Call 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Gary Knowles Superfood Breakfast, along with the film Finding Happiness in an Unhappy World. We want to make it a happy world. We want you to be happy. It's hard to be happy sometimes, but inner introspection and eating healthy and looking at nature and being thankful for those things that you do have, gratitude is a big part of it, as Gary has been telling us. And we want to thank you so much, Gary, for spending time with us.
Let us just leave everyone with this thought. All of us are going to have breakfast, or we're depriving ourselves of the nourishment we need to keep our immune system strong, our blood sugar normal, and our blood pressure normal, and our energy level up. So why not think of the consequences, aside from the fact you like certain foods, and you think, well, I like the way that tastes. Remember, if it's not healthy for you, it's not going to do anything good for your body, and then you're going to end up with inflammation, and in time, disease. So at least now you're going to put something in your body that's really, really, really healthy. I mean, a superstar health. And you can take it anywhere you want. You can take it on travel, take it on a trip. You can take it to the office, whatever you want. And then you can make it at any time you want. And then watch the film, because, in effect, the film is a gift. And when you realize how little you're paying the station, you're buying it from the station, and it's your gift of a premium. It's a gift of health, both mentally and, in this case, physically. And we also feel better when we do something we know is good. The sense of gratitude to self, where we're doing something really good to ourselves, for ourselves, we're always going to feel a little better. I mean, do you think people really feel good when they go out and they're drinking heavy alcohol and they go home and they wake up the next morning, their eyes are puffy, their nasal and throats are clogged with phlegm, you know, their indigestion is kicking in? And that doesn't feel good. This way, give your body what it needs. Give it the fruits and vegetables it needs. And this is unique because I'm not aware of any other food that's ever put fruits and vegetables together, 24 fruits and vegetables with good protein, getting lots of protein. You're getting quality fiber. You're getting phytonutrients and antioxidants. You're getting the right type of oil. You're getting all this in one serving, and you're getting 24 servings. So anyhow, leave yourself with the idea. Do something good for yourself today because you deserve it. We have enough negative in the world. We have enough oppression in the world. We have enough, more than enough. We have an abundance of stupid in the world. We have a lot of people doing the wrong thing. So
we have an abundance of stupid in the world. That's a Gary Knowles quote. We have an abundance of stupid in the world. It's true.
So
it's
let's just
true.
Do something good and loving for ourselves.
Okay, thank you so much.
Linda, see you tomorrow. Have a nice day,
everyone. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. We have a final moment here for you to join Clarence and Bettina and others who are calling now. 212-209-2950. And they are asking for Gary Knowles Superfood Breakfast and the film, The Happiness in an Unhappy World film. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. And what you're really doing is you're supporting this listener-sponsored radio station. And you're doing this and you're getting something very good for you, something good for yourself, by calling 212-209-2950. Ask for Gary Knowles Superfood Breakfast, and you will also get the film, Happiness in an Unhappy World. And we are in our fun drive, but we have not been having constant fun drive programs. We are trying to bring you information and our regular programs as much as we can throughout the day, but yet WBAI needs to pay its bills. And this is one way of us doing that, by having you, by you going, taking the initiative, going to your phone, calling 212-209-2950. Thank you so much, those of you who are calling. Please continue to call.
Happy talk, keep talking, happy talk. Talk about things you'd like to do. You've got to have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how you gonna have a dream?
May I use your phone, Mr. Marlowe? Hello? Police headquarters, please. Hello, this is Mrs.
Hello, what do you want, please? What? I called you. Say, who is this? Sergeant Riley. Well, there isn't any Sergeant Riley here. Wait a minute. You better talk to my mother.
Hey, don't be like Humphrey Bogart or Lauren Bacall.
Hello, who's this?
Or Philip Marlowe. This is Prairie Miller at Arts Express, urging you to call 212-209-2950 instead, or visit WBAI.org to help pay for the WBAI radio tower rent